It seems like these boundaries between personal life and work is getting more and more tricky to define. Yeah, it's becoming more of a blend. You know, it's hard to separate those things.
You need to create more of an awareness about what your priorities are in your life. You need to really envision, for example, what does a perfect day for you look like? One simple question I would ask is, what's really important to you and what's not important to you? Oh yeah, global citizens. This is Ethan from Real Life English, where every single week it is our mission to help you speak confident, natural English, connect to the world, and actually use your English as the doorway to living your dreams. I'm joined here in the Global Studio by the man who has a knack for quoting The Godfather verbatim, Thiago.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse. Hey Ethan, hey everybody, how's it going? What does that mean, by the way, Ethan, to have a knack for something?
It means that you have a natural skill or talent for something. Mm. It's a really nice colloquial word that I like.
Yeah, it is. It's great, yeah. And you also said verbatim, quoting The Godfather verbatim. When you quote something verbatim, what's that?
I like your pronunciation there as well, verbatim, with that American T there, right?
Thanks.
It means that you do it from memory in a way that is in the exact same way as the original quote, the original work.
So it's word for word.
Exactly. Right. So why don't you let our listeners and viewers know what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about today's topic, Ethan, because I think it's about something that we all struggle with, especially, you know, those of us who already have jobs and families. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the so-called work-life balance today. And why do we decide to talk about this today? I've noticed in my students that many of them struggle to study English by themselves outside of the class time. They have the class, okay, once or twice a week, that's fine. But when it comes to studying by themselves outside of that time or doing homework, they really struggle with finding time to do that. Why? Because, you know, they're usually busy, they work all day, and when they get home, they're pretty much done, right? They're tired, they don't want to do anything else because they don't feel like studying after a long day of work. And also many of these people nowadays, they work from home, so that makes it even more challenging. I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but I have heard from so many people that since they started working from home remotely, they feel like they work more. Maybe what they mean is that they are in front of the computer more hours, you know, than they would normally spend, you know, if they were going physically to the office. So they're kind of sick of being at home for working, studying, and resting. And it seems like these boundaries between personal life and work is getting more and more tricky to define. Yeah, it's becoming more of a blend, you know, it's hard to separate those things. Now, in our team, Ethan, you are considered to be a person who has successfully achieved a certain level of balance in your life, which as a result has helped you learn many languages on your own while maintaining a healthy lifestyle, which is great, and being productive at work. So what I find interesting is that you do all these things without going crazy or acting like a machine. At least I don't see yourself going crazy like that or acting like a machine. So I thought it would be cool for us today to pick our brain a little bit and learn some tips and strategies from you that maybe I can apply in my life and the viewers here, the listeners, can also apply in their lives. So let's talk a little bit about this thorny issue of work-life balance.
All right. Before we get into that, I did want to comment on, I think there's some really nice expressions you used there. You said so-called work-life balance. What does it that mean if you say so-called something?
It's like it's the name that people usually give to something. But what I also find interesting about this expression is when you use it when you don't believe that maybe that's a proper term as well. You know, like personally, I don't believe that that's maybe a proper term to call it work-life balance. So we call it so-called work-life balance, you know.
Also, there's something interesting culturally I'm going to have to point out here, because for people who are watching, you'll have seen that Thiago did this for what we call air quotes, right? Because you're trying to quote work-life balance as a term, right? Americans, which maybe people have seen in TV series, because I think that there's an entire thing that they made fun of this in Friends, for example, with the air quotes. But we do two fingers like this.
Oh,
and maybe that refers to the writing rules, the rules for writing in the language, because when we have quotes in a book, for example, we use the apostrophes, the double hanging commas, whatever you, I don't know exactly how to describe that, right? And in different languages, they use different symbols when they're quoting someone, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing in Portuguese, maybe you just use one apostrophe?
I'm not sure. I never thought about that, actually. I use one, right? But I don't know if other Brazilians also use one. And for me, it's kind of weird to do two, using two fingers, yeah? I have to check, yeah? That seems like interesting piece of trivia.
Maybe, you know, we have our producer, Ice-T, in the studio, and Izzy. We're both Brazilians. I'm curious if you guys would say the same.
How many fingers do you use, guys?
Izzy says with one finger.
Okay. All right.
And Thiago would use, Ice-T would use two. Huh.
All right.
Interesting.
It seems like we don't have a consensus.
A consensus in the same country. That's hilarious. Anyway, we're going off on a tangent there. A couple more expressions that I wanted to point out. You mentioned pick your brain. You want to pick my brain. What does it mean to pick someone's brain?
When you talk to a person who you believe has more knowledge or experience than you do in a certain area, and you ask that person questions in order to learn more about how the person views that topic or what the person does in regards to that topic. So you want to learn more from that person. And the way you do that is by picking the person's brain.
Asking them some questions, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Nice. And then finally, you said a thorny issue. I like that. It's very visual. What does that mean?
It is. Think about a rose, the flower, you know. The rose has thorns, and you have to be careful when picking one with your hands because you might get hurt. You might prickle your fingers. So a thorny issue is a situation that is challenging to deal with. It's not so maybe easy to manage or to handle, like this topic we are going to talk about today. How to have more work-life balance. This is a challenging topic or situation for many people.
So coming back to the main topic of today, so you said that I'm somewhat someone maybe on our team who's seen as someone who has a good sense of balance in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I would just start off with a caveat saying that I'm not perfect by any means. I mean, right now it's summer here and I have more travel plans and everything. So my normal routine has been suffering, but I would say that usually it's something that I value a lot. And I would say over the last, let's say 10 years or so, I've been cultivating, having really good routines and habits in my life that help me to bring my best self to both my work and to my life. That's something that is really principal for me. So it's something that I have prioritized a lot. And it's something else I think that's been helpful is that, you know, I've been with Justin, with my co-founder, we've been building this together for the last, I think, 11 years now. Mm. So we were distributed, you know, me living in Barcelona and him living in Brazil before, we could say before it was cool, before COVID, and it became quite mainstream for people to be working from home. So when COVID hit, actually for us, it was kind of business as usual. You know, we've been always distributed first. So for me, it wasn't any shock, any big change in my life to be suddenly working from home. But you know, I know many people who it was new for that exactly what you were saying, that they actually found they were working more. And maybe it's in part because they were lacking in those rituals that they would normally have, that, you know, you wake up in the morning and maybe you have your breakfast or coffee, and at some point you're grabbing your keys or, you know, you're heading out the door to travel to work. And then at the end of the day, you probably have a very specific time that you're ending because you need to, you know, you need to travel back home. Maybe you need to be there in time to pick up your kids from school or for other things that you have happening in the evening. But because we're kind of like missing in those rituals of travel, of having a moment where you're transitioning from your home life to your work life, it can cause issues for some people because they're kind of like lacking in these moments where they're really transitioning from one thing to another. And so it can be really easy to work more, to not have like a stopping point. And obviously, if you're working more, too, if you're not having like these rituals and stuff to transition, then it can also mean that maybe you are sacrificing some of the things that you really need to feel that sense of balance in your life, to really bring your best to your work and so on. I thought a nice place to start, because we have our method for helping people to learn English called the Real Life Way. And this actually fits really nicely with some of the topics of what we could so call work-life balance. We'll talk about other terms that we like more for this later, right? But one part of this is we call connected. So part of that is identity, really getting clear on the identity that you're wanting to cultivate. Who is that person that you want to be in the future? And so this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about today, because you need to create more of an awareness about what your priorities are in your life. You need to really envision, for example, what does a perfect day for you look like between being at home, starting your work, ending your day, and so on. And I think there's some questions we could give people that could maybe help them just to reflect a little bit on that. Maybe even pause the podcast for a moment and just like write down for a few minutes some answers to these. So one simple question I would ask is, what's really important to you and what's not important to you? So even if you, there's a really great book I read several years back. Actually, I've read it a couple times, called The Effective Executive. And one of the sections that this book talks about, basically giving, you know, how to be someone who is a great executive, a great boss, or a great entrepreneur, and so on. One of the things he talks about is really meticulously tracking your time. So spending 2 weeks, for example, writing down every single thing that you're doing throughout the day, you know, from how much time you're spending in the morning making and having breakfast, the different habits that you have, and like from transition to work, meetings, different tasks that you're working on, and so on. Like really meticulously capturing all of this and then analyzing that to see where your time's going and what are you working on that fills you with energy, that feels really important, that is really driving you forward, or that in your life outside of work, for example, that you're really passionate about, that you look forward to. And on the other hand, what are the things that are a drag for you, that you just dread having to do that thing? Or, you know, it's something that saps your energy, meaning that it leaves you after you start it with a higher level of energy and you end it with less energy. So doing kind of an analysis of these things and figuring out what are those things that are energy producing and what are those things that are energy draining. And I mean, you can, even without doing that deep analysis, you probably have a sense of some of these things. So you could do a quick brainstorm right now. But I do recommend at some point doing that deeper analysis.
I find interesting what you're saying, because, you know, it seems like the main issue here has to do with awareness, right? Being more aware, because when you were describing the situation before the pandemic, let's say, when people still used to go to their offices physically, maybe it wasn't something so, you know, that people were aware they did, you know? It was just the routine, the rituals, as you call them, right? Like, oh, I gotta be at the office by this time, so I gotta leave at this time. But they don't really think about it. But now that we are working more and more often from home and remotely, more than ever, it's important to become more aware of how we are spending our time and where our time is going. Yeah, I really like that. Before we continue, Ethan, I just want to ask a few questions here about vocabulary you used. First of all, you said that, you know, you and Justin were working together way before the pandemic, when before online work was a thing. But for you guys, it was business as usual. What does that mean when something is business as usual?
So it means that it's something that isn't new for you, something that you're always doing. So in this case, maybe people could understand from the context, we always were working as a distributed company. We were used to having our meetings online. We were used to collaborating, using online tools, and so on. So for us, nothing changed really with the pandemic. Awesome. Whereas for other people, it was a completely new experience. It was not business as usual because they were lacking in tools to collaborate online. They were lacking in just their own habits that would help them to bring their best self to working in that sort of way. Even a lot of people, right, that they had to work from their living room because they're lacking in the space in their home that could be dedicated to working.
That's so true. Yeah. And you also said the word dread. Yeah. What is something that you dread doing? What does that mean, to dread something?
We could say you're eager for something, or you're looking forward to something, for something that you're excited about. So maybe a vacation that's coming up, traveling to somewhere new, or seeing a friend who you haven't connected with in a few months, for example, are all things that you'd really look forward to. The opposite of that, something that you're really not looking forward to, or even it fills you with a sensation of, I don't want to do that. So things like filing your taxes, or maybe your partner is dragging you to the opera, and that's something that just for you is really boring. It doesn't fulfill you. For one person, it could be something you're looking forward to. For another person, it could be something that they're dreading. Anything like this that just kind of fills you with that anxiety or that already feeling a sense of boredom just having to think about it, those are things that you dread. We were talking about identity and kind of got away from that, but it can be a really good reflection. We've talked about this before on the podcast, just to think about, we talk about this with English, for example, that a lot of people say, I want to be fluent in English, but that's just so superficial. So we actually get people to get more into the details of thinking, okay, what will my life be like when I'm that fluent speaker? What kind of things will I be doing with my day? Who will I be spending time with? Will I be in a different sort of job? Will I be living in another country and so on? And already acting today as if you were that person. So it's the same thing here, basically, is getting really clear on, okay, what would a perfect day for me look like? A day where I'm feeling full of energy, I'm feeling balanced, I'm feeling connected to things that I'm passionate about, and so on. And start making that a reality already. You know, if your ideal day looks like you want to be participating in a group sport, let's say, because that's something you did when you're younger, you're really passionate about, then maybe you'll realize like you need to actually prioritize looking for opportunities to join a weekly football club, let's say. Yeah.
So starting with why, right?
Exactly. We like to say that a lot here. And I was talking about doing this quick reflection, just thinking about the things that you're spending time on that aren't important for you. So look for, are there any ways that you could be delegating any of these things so that you don't have to spend time on them? And this is something that, you know, there's different ways that you can trade money for time, which depending on the economic situation you have and everything, you might have more or less abilities to do this. But for example, if you really dread having to clean the house or go grocery shopping or cook meals for yourself, some people really enjoy these, but if that's not your case and you're doing those things, you might look for, okay, if I'm currently cooking for myself, maybe investigating a little bit, how much does it cost to get food delivered to me? So like maybe I don't have to cook lunches anymore. This is something I did, found like a really great service in Spain that they deliver lunches. So it's like something I used to have to spend almost half of my Sunday cooking meals, then I don't have to do that anymore because I just get them delivered. I'm trading money for time and convenience, right? Same thing for going to the grocery store. Something I really didn't look forward to every week, having to spend an hour to leave my house, go to the store, actually pick out groceries and everything. And now I order all my groceries online. So it saves a ton of time. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so much more convenient. So I can spend that time on things that are more important to me, which can be like, for me, work is something that's important. Or for things that fill me with energy, you know, might be going to the gym or participating in activity or going to see friends or things like this. So really look for any ways that you can delegate things, these things that you dread, or even you don't even have to dread them, but they can just be things that, you know, you don't look forward to, you don't enjoy, that are a part of your week to week, and see if you can delegate those to someone else so you can spend time on things that are in your zone of genius or that you really enjoy and fill you with energy.
That's so true, yeah. And nowadays, I think it's becoming more and more accessible, yeah, for you to be able to do these things. So yeah, I mean, check your reality and see if maybe not all of them, at least try to delegate one of these things that you have to do anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true.
I think it's the whole thing about thinking about your identity and the future of like the person, like, okay, I'd like to be the person who has a personal chef and has a person who comes and cleans and does my laundry every day and all these things. Maybe that's like a goal for in 10 years, let's say. Uh-huh. Are there any of these things you can start doing now that get you a step closer to that? So exactly like Thiago's saying is choose one of them and make a step towards that future identity right now.
That's so true. Yeah. One thing that I've been finding really helpful to me personally lately is deliberately starting my days earlier than usual. And by earlier, I mean 1 hour earlier than I would normally get up, or even two hours, depending on the day. There is a trick to that, of course, because you know you don't want to sacrifice sleep in order to do that. You still have to make sure that you are sleeping enough hours. But if you plan, you know, if you go to bed a little bit earlier and everything, I find that for me, it's been very helpful to start my day 1 or 2 hours earlier than usual, because it's like I'm front-loading my day. Front-loading, like, you know, doing the big things for the day first. For example, right now, we are recording this podcast. The podcast for me today, and it's a Tuesday, by the way, it's like the big thing that I have to do today. I'm doing it in the morning, which is great. So, you know what? Tackling the most important tasks that you have in your day or that consume more brain power or brain energy in the morning, so that in the afternoon, you are a little bit more relaxed. You can maybe just join some meetings or do things that don't consume much of your brain capacity or brain power. And the cool thing is that also you get to end the day a little bit earlier than usual as well. In my case, I have many things that I have to do. You know, I have my job, I have my classes to teach, I have a toddler at home, my daughter, I have to give some attention to her. I have some learning to do. I got books to read and courses to take on some subjects I'm interested in. So, and working out. So, you know, it's a lot of things that I have to do, and all these things are a priority. So how can I do them? By, you know, making sure I start the day a little bit earlier. You will find that if you do that, you can do so much with that one extra hour that you gain in your day, yeah? Just by getting up a little bit earlier than usual.
That's a really great point. There was actually a video I saw a couple of years ago by this guy named Brian Johnson, who is all about helping people to connect more to their purpose and optimize their life. And he talks about when, in that video, when you're really clear on your purpose, that this can be something that's guiding, that's motivating for you in the sense, or like one example here, related to sleep. Because a lot of people might be in the evening, they're just, they finish work, they get home, maybe have dinner, and they're just exhausted from the day. And so what do? They go, they like laze about on the couch, binge watch some series or something, and then it's late in the night and, you know, they can't keep their eyes open anymore, so they go to bed. But when you're connected to your purpose, then you might say, like, you know, instead of just vegging out and watching a TV series at night, I'm going to start going to bed a little bit earlier so I can wake up a little bit earlier and I can spend that on something that is more connected to my purpose in the morning. And I think the thing that Tiago was talking about front loading, it's so important because maybe you have all of us have all these intentions in the world, all these things that we want to do, all these things we want to get better at, things that are healthy for us that we want to spend more time on and so on. But the problem is like throughout the day, we have all sorts of things come up, all sorts of distractions, all sorts of responsibilities that we have to take care of, maybe kids, maybe taking your dog out for a walk, maybe something, an emergency coming up at work and so on, that are going to take away your time. They're unexpected things that you can't plan for. But if you start in the morning, you're purposely doing things that are most important to you before all the distractions can come in. So for me, it's the same thing that I've, over the last 10 years, I've created a really solid morning routine that by the time I get that it's time to start working, I've already set a really great base for my day. And I already have checked the boxes off on a lot of things that are really valuable priorities for me. So for example, you know, I'll also like wake up early, I drink a big glass of water. I meditate. I do a little bit of yoga to like, you know, stretch, get the body moving, stretch a little bit, make myself a good breakfast. And then I sit down. I will read whatever book I'm reading for at least 20 minutes and take notes and everything. And then I take my dog Phoebe out for a walk. So I'm like doing all these things that are important to me before I'm starting work, before I'm even letting any distractions come in. Like I don't even look at my phone until I've completed all these things so that I can really ensure that before anyone else is trying to demand things from me, that I am prioritizing myself first. So it's really important to front load your day, as Tiago was saying.
It's just like that analogy right on the plane. You put on the oxygen mask on you first before, you know, handling everybody else's demands, let's say, right?
Exactly, yeah. We even have a value for this at Real Life English. One of our values is bring your best self. And so we try to help everyone on our team to cultivate these routines that help them to arrive at starting the workday already with a sense of fulfillment and a sense of having high energy because they've taken care of the most important habits, whatever those are for them, before coming into work.
There you go. Yeah. And it feels amazing because, you know, by the time you actually start working, you feel like you have already done so much. And it's still exactly, like, I don't know, 8 a.m. in the morning. You're going to start working then. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. There's this whole movement called the Miracle Morning that was to wake up at 5 a.m. and to have a really solid routine like this. I've tried that. Like for me personally, it doesn't work because there's also a factor of people have different timings. I think it's called chronotypes is the technical name for this. So we have different timings and it's important for you to experiment and find out what works best for you. Something that like over the last couple of years, I've learned about sleep and I've experimented with these things a lot. But if you are the kind of person who can feel energetic waking up at 5 a.m., it's like, you know, you can have a super power-packed start to your day by spending, you probably could have like 3 hours before you're even starting to work, at least. Mm-hmm. So for some people, that can work really fantastically. The other thing that we were going to discuss that also comes out of the Real Life Way, we call it Live It. And this is all about making it fun, natural, convenient, and every day. So I think that, you know, having this time in the morning to prioritize things, that's really great. And something else that can be really helpful is with the skills that you want to develop, looking for ways to make them super enjoyable. So when it comes to learning English, we talk about this all the time, right? It's like watching TV series. When it comes to learning languages, for me, I've had times in the past, I think Thiago as well, where I've been more dedicated to a big priority of mine was improving the language. And so I had really clear routines. It was actually with Katsan, for example, one of the times I advanced the most was when I was living in Santiago, Chile, where the native language there is actually Spanish. But I had routines where I would wake up in the morning, I would go for a run, and while I was running, I would listen to music or a podcast in Catalan. I'd come back, I would listen to a radio program in Catalan while I was making breakfast. And then, you know, when I started work throughout the day, I was listening to music in Catalan. So I had, like, without really doing any deliberate practice or anything, I was just filling tons of my time with the listening part of it, with the passive part of the language. So I was just taking it all the time without even having to live in a native speaking country. So there's no reason for you that with English you can't do the same, is like looking throughout your day, what are convenient moments that you can inject different exposure to the language. Mm-hmm. And there's so many fun ways, like I think especially if you do some reflection on what things you're really passionate about, what things really give you energy, there's all sorts of things you can look for that are going to help you with this. So like now, for example, I've been more focused on not so much learning Portuguese, but like reactivating it, because I used to be more fluent in it when I was living in Brazil, and I've decided I want to improve it again. So I'm not doing any like deep studying or anything right now, but I have been injecting my days with like a lot more touch points. So listening to more Brazilian music, listening to podcasts while I'm working out in Portuguese and so on, that are just things that I can do rather passively while I'm doing other things that are important to me. They're helping me just to get tons of exposure. So I like that too, for me, it's fulfilling and it fills me with energy, just having that exposure to the language.
And the cool thing is that if you do that deliberately, like, you know, if you plan your days deliberately during the week, by the weekend, you actually have the weekend off, you know, and then on the weekend, then you can do, you know, you can veg out on the couch if you want to, you know, to watch some Netflix. It's the weekend, right? Or, I don't know, you can study more deliberately, English in this case. Yeah. Oh, I don't have time to really dedicate for studying during the week, but on the weekend, I do have some time. So I do have half an hour, 1 hour. So yeah, if you plan well your weeks in terms of work and responsibilities, by the weekend, you will find that, now I can, you know, indulge myself a little bit or allow myself to have those me time, let's say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the me times, as we say.
We both said a fun phrasal verb there, veg out on the couch. What does that mean?
I think of a vegetable, like, you know, like Homer Simpson, you know, you are just...
A couch potato.
A couch potato, yeah, sitting on the couch, just, Netflix, what am I going to eat today? Pizza, ooh, you know... Donuts.
That's what cheat day is for, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so speaking about really convenient things, it can be really easy the passively to be listening to podcasts, to listen to music, to watch series in English instead of watching them in your native language, for example. All these things are really great. But so many learners have told us that the thing that they have a lot of difficulty with is actually speaking, because they don't have anyone around them with whom they can speak English. So this is exactly why we created the Real Life English app, which is the only place where anytime, anywhere, you just press a button and we instantly connect you to another English speaker, another part of the world, for a fun, dynamic, and culturally insightful conversation with another global citizen. And this is really great because even if you just have, let's say, a 10-minute coffee break at work, you could have two conversations and be practicing your speaking. So you really have no more excuses not to be activating your English speaking every single day. So I highly recommend that you check it out. And we're actually going to be looking at like some thought experts, some entrepreneurs, talking about this topic of work-life balance. But before we get into that, we wanted to give a shout out to a very special user of our app.
All right, this one goes to Dimitri. or Dimitri, and Dimitri says, "This is a totally essential app for any English learner. Contractions, idioms, life-needed vocabulary, and even the opportunity to speak with other learners around the world. All of this is provided here. It can definitely be used as a tool for everyday practice."
Oh yeah, thanks so much, Dimitri. And if you too want to experience learning so much more with the Real Life English podcast and being able to speak English every single day and meet some really amazing people, then we highly recommend that you check out the app. You can find that linked down in the description on YouTube or wherever you are listening to this, and also by clicking up here somewhere if you're on YouTube.
Somewhere, yeah. On the screen, guys. Yeah, you'll find it. All right, Ethan, really cool tips and talk today. I thought to conclude this episode today, it'll be cool also for us to see what some CEOs, some, you know, successful entrepreneurs think about this topic of work-life balance. The first person that I have here is a man called, I think his name is Chamath Palihapitiya. He's a venture capitalist and founder and CEO of Social Capital. By the way, guys, a venture capitalist is someone who provides young companies with capital, money, in exchange for equity. Equity is when the person has a share in the business. So he provides young companies, startups, for example, with money so that they can grow. And in exchange for that money, that capital, he owns a percentage or a share of those companies. He was also an early senior executive at Facebook. And I was watching the other day this podcast with him on Lex Fridman. And I found it really interesting how he plans his day, because he sets really clear boundaries for everything. His time is really regimented to get started, the personal routine he has with his family, the breakfast, everything. But what really caught my attention from that clip was that he talks about checking out properly. When you check out, you log off. You stop working, you close your laptop. This is checking out. But he says, checking out properly. In the clip, he says that by Friday evening, he checks out properly. He turns off everything and he focuses now, okay, the weekend is beginning, time to be present, time to be immersed with my personal life, with my family, with my kids. Yeah, so he really sets that clear boundary. Like, you know, he's not going to think about work until Monday.
First of all, I wanted to point out in this clip, he talks about regimented time. Mm. What does that mean, regimented time?
Something very structured and defined, almost like the army, you know, like military schedule, you know, like you are very precise with your time.
Yeah, if you're late, so you're going to have to scrub the toilets with a toothbrush or something like that, right? Regimented.
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, coincidentally, just this morning, I saw this video that was talking about using a calendar, the importance of using a calendar. And it's for a similar idea of this regimented time of having, he actually talks about creating a calendar, for example, on Google Calendar. That's what would your ideal week look like? So with blocks for all of the priorities, like we were talking about earlier. So having all your workouts scheduled, having time with your partner scheduled, like your weekly date night, for example, having playtime with your kids scheduled in. And then, of course, everything for work. Maybe if you have certain meetings that recur every week, maybe if you're like us, that you're a content creator and you have to record a podcast at a certain time each week. So for example, it's all in blocks on your calendar. And then he talked about that if you're every single week, what you should do is actually look at how your actual week looked and compare that to your ideal week. And the idea here is to get closer and closer to having your actual week look very similar to your ideal week, because that ideal week is probably what you need to feel the most fulfilled, the most energetic, the most passionate about what you're doing. So I thought that was a really interesting concept. And that's actually something I use a lot as a tool, is Google Calendar. I schedule in everything that's a priority for me, workouts, new habits I'm trying to create. I make sure it's all on there, because usually if it's on there, I'll get to it. Not always. I'm not perfect, of course, but in general, 90% of the time, if it's on there, it gets done. Mm. So having tools like that, that's definitely going to advance you a lot in being able to, as Chamath was his name, right? Mm-hmm. As he says here, to really have these boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I think too that We were talking about rituals earlier. So, you know, if now you're working from home and you are someone who's really struggling with this feeling that you're working more than ever, then that might be something for you to look for. Is like, okay, before I had these rituals of getting in my car and driving to work, for example, what rituals can I create to help me have more of these boundaries? Like a time to, okay, now it's time to end work, time to start winding down and everything. And then eventually even going to bed, like having a scheduled bedtime for each day. Like all of us have a scheduled time that we're waking up in the morning, an alarm. So we should also be scheduling in when we want to get to bed by so we can feel our best the next day.
I love that idea of deliberately planning your ideal day, ideal week. I love that. Another take that I have here from a famous CEO is Jeff Bezos. And I saw this clip from him, and he actually doesn't like the term work-life balance very much. And he says that work-life balance is a misleading term. He prefers to call it work-life harmony, you know? And then he talks about mainly energy. He says that ideally, your work is your life, you know, also. It's part of your life. It's a significant part of your life. So you should be getting energy from your job, from your work. He says that if you're not getting enough energy from your work, maybe you should consider leaving, you know, because that's not ideal. You should be getting energy, you know, from your work. He also talks about not taking energy. It's funny because he talks about some people in companies sometimes who are kind of energy drainers, you know, and the person joins the meeting or walks into the room. If you are in the physical office, like, you know, the energy gets sucked out. You know, nobody wants to be that person. So I like his take of calling it work-life harmony and also this idea of feeling energized from the work you do.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mentioned earlier that we have a value at Real Life English that is bring your best self. And we look for people who already actively do this. We don't call it work-life harmony. We call it work-life synergy. Mm. But it's a very similar concept, is that ultimately we don't want people to see that they come to work at Real Life English 9 to 5 and, you know, that's it. And then, you know, they go home and that's something separate. We want people to see that their life helps them to bring energy to their work and their work helps them bring energy to their life. So you're going to be spending at the very least like 40 hours of your week, you know, which is really the majority of your time until your retirement age in a job. So if it's not something that's filling you with energy, that's making you feel fulfilled, that's making you feel like you're doing something important in the world that you're living, your purpose of what you were put here to do, then you really should be, you know, maybe you can't change right away because of all your circumstances, but you should be looking to get closer to something that gives you that sort of feeling and not just working towards your retirement and then you'll finally be able to enjoy it because then you're going to be old. You know, who knows if you'll even make it to that age, who knows when you get to that age, how you'll be feeling and so on. So, you know, don't just live your life for retirement or anything like that.
There you go. Yeah. And the last CEO that I brought for us to talk about today is Simon Sinek. We love his work. Yeah, we are big fans of his ideas and his work. And he has a pretty similar idea to Bezos, I would say, because, you know, he says in this clip that I saw that work and life are not opposing forces. And then he says, I'm the same person at home as I am at work. So why are we treating these separately? Yeah, he says that it's all my life. There's no difference. So what he tries to do instead, he doesn't try to balance work and life. He tries to live a more balanced life in general. That's his approach. And I love what he talks about related to art as well. He deliberately makes time to consume art, you know, in his week. Because, you know, he believes that that also sparks creativity. That then, you know, it makes him feel good personally, but also it helps him be more creative at work.
Again, like I agree 100%. I think it's so spot on, is that we should all be trying to live a more balanced life and knowing those things that help to bring you energy, that help to bring you creativity. So one of those, for me, like language learning is definitely one of these things. And that's important for me, is even if I'm not actively learning any language, it's like always a part of my life. I listen to music from many different countries. I have friends from all over the world and so on. And so I really am a global citizen. It's a big part of my life. It's a big part of my identity. And also, you know, just knowing these things that fill you with energy, maybe that's playing sports. So like, that's one of those things, and make sure you're playing sports every single week. If meditation really helps you, and like, make sure you're meditating every single morning. If spending time with your kids is one of those things, it's like, make sure you're reserving time in your day to spend quality time with them. So I think it like really is worth actually not just listening to this, but like sitting down and getting clear on what are the things that I really value? What are the things that I want to be spending my life doing? And starting to take steps to make those more active part of your life.
Well said.
All right. So before we go today, it's time for our big challenge.
The big challenge today is, we have a question for you guys out there. What practices do you use in your life for better work-life synergy? Let's start calling it work-life harmony or work-life synergy rather than work-life balance. So what practices do you use in your life for better work-life synergy? Leave us a comment here on YouTube if you are on YouTube. You can also send us an email at hello@reallifeglobal.com. Or if you prefer, you can send us a voice message of yourself reading your response. You can send your message to speakpipe.com/reallifeenglish. That is speakpipe.com/reallifeenglish. Okay. Just remember to keep the audio message short, 30 seconds or less. We're also going to leave the link here in the description of the video, in the show notes, so you can access it quickly. All right.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us today. We hope that it was helpful for your English, of course. We've given you a lot of new vocabulary expressions, and there's a lot of them too that we do not take the time to explain for you. But if you listen to this on the Real Life English app, then we give you the definitions for all the most important vocabulary and expressions. So definitely, if you want to take your English to the next level, check that out. It's free to download. And if these lessons, these podcasts are helping you, a free way that you can support us is by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you're listening, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or anywhere else. And if you're on YouTube, being sure to subscribe and like this video so more people can find these lessons. And finally, remember that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is so much greater. So we look forward to seeing you next week. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.